This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray and Intel. The new Cray XE30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers scalable performance for the most demanding computing challenges. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXE30.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry.
Cray picks up the pieces at Nodal.
And BP gazes up Petaflop Super.
Hello and welcome to HPC Wire Soundbite for November 1st, 2013, available Fridays on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Addison Snell with Intersect 360 Research, joined by my co-analyst, Mike Feldman. How's it going, Mike?
Hey, very good. How's it going with you, Addison?
Doing fine, thanks. We're all recovered from trick-or-treats here. No major hooliganism last night. Awakened to find some new news, particularly with some developments going on at Nodal in the UK. Nodal, for those who hadn't been following it, a high-performance Ethernet switch company based in Bristol in the UK, had gone under administration almost a month ago, going back to early October. This is basically a UK or British form of bankruptcy protection, right? And going into today, we made a new press release from Cray that Cray had had acquired not the current products or customers, but the futures, and essentially had hired everybody from the Nodal staff to start working at Cray.
Yeah, that was a really interesting press release, and sort of surprising because, like you said, Nodal's in the switch business, the interconnect business, for HPC and big data and cloud and that sort of thing, these low latency Ethernet switches they've been producing. And Cray sort of seemed like it was getting out of the interconnect business. All of a sudden it hires the engineers, buys the IP of this company, and this company was making its own ASICs, and this is something Cray, I think, doesn't want to do anymore. So it's a little bit of a mystery to me why they would buy the patents for this and then hire the talent.
Yeah, it's one of these things where the acquisition makes sense to me, but we got to get our head around why this particular acquirer. It was like when Intel acquired WAM Cloud, where we all knew that WAM Cloud was going to get bought by somebody, but when it was Intel, we had to do some of the reasoning around Intel's motivation, since we hadn't seen Intel as a storage software company at the time. In this case, you're talking about Cray, which very clearly sold off its interconnect future business to Intel, and now is, as you said, getting back into some of the hardware side on high-performance interconnects.
Yeah, exactly. Now, of course, I'm sure the staff, the engineering staff at Nodal, wasn't all about the hardware. I mean, sure, there were software drivers that need to be
fixed. Of course.
There's probably a lot of software people there, and there's probably some good talent there. And this is Ethernet. This isn't a proprietary interconnect the way the Cray interconnect was. So in that sense, it might make more sense, because Cray, I think, doesn't necessarily want to be producing producing systems based on proprietary technology anymore. They want to design their own systems. They want to make their own software as value add. But Ethernet, in that sense, makes a little more sense in that it's commodity technology.
Right. It's commodity technology, and you could see it fitting in a couple different places in Cray, not only in their existing cluster business, but over on the data side, the storage side, and in particular with their YARC data business, it could be a fit.
Yeah, that's true. And yet, I go back to it. It's like, what are they going to be producing here from this? I mean, they're not going to be making their own switches with their own ASICs in there, I don't think, unless they actually do that. It just doesn't seem like something they're willing to do anymore, since they basically got out of the ASIC business for the most part.
Right. Now, go back to one of the facts that we do know is this is not a deal that involves the current product lines or the current customer base of Nodal. I believe that has to do with the rules of administration in the UK, but But that stuff stays behind and basically has to do with the liquidation under administration in the UK. What's been purchased, is some of the intellectual property, which presumably includes the futures and what these people that they've hired could be building in next generations. Now, there's some additional clues maybe in the press release. When you look at the press release from Cray and Ulla Thiel's quotes about increasing the R&D footprint of Cray in Europe since the launch of the Cray Exascale Research Initiative in Europe in 2009, Ulla says Cray has steadily expanded its R&D base in Europe. And they go on to cite some major European supercomputing wins that they've had recently. I think some of the signs around pointing to R&D in Europe and expanding their footprint there, one of the possibilities is that Cray is preparing to use these people on some sort of multi-year exascale proposal for the European research community.
Yeah, I would think that could be a possibility, and yet I think since they've hired talent, they're looking a little further even beyond that, even if it was multi-year. Plus, they bought the patents, too. This is general-purpose technology. I think, you know, maybe it's a wait-and-see thing if they feel like they can pay for what they've bought with a multi-year project and then see where it goes from there. That's probably rationale enough. But, I think they eventually want this to go on into their general-purpose products or technology that going forward.
Right. I'm not so concerned about the price of whatever R&D they bought of the intellectual property. That probably did not cost very much. But you're adding a bunch of engineers in Europe in an area that you said that you were moving away from previously. So it is very relevant to say, all right, what's the project that these people are going to be working on, and where does it contribute revenue for Cray?
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it unfolds here. I'm sure we'll see this stuff pop up somewhere in some fashion in the coming months or years.
Yeah. Well, I think it'll even be faster than that. I think once they get the deal knit up, there should be announcements coming down the pike about what they're going to be working on. I'm intrigued by the idea that there might be a large scale European HPC research initiative that Cray is proposing.
Yeah, I agree. That would be interesting, and that would be enough of a rationale for this. Yep.
All right, well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back to something that's now on the U.S. side instead of the European side, and in commercial research instead of public sector.
Need scalability across the performance spectrum? The Cray XC30 supercomputer family delivers on Cray's commitment to an adaptive supercomputing architecture that provides both extreme scalability and sustained performance, leveraging a robust processor roadmap, high-performance interconnect, and flexible network topology. Users can configure the exact machine to meet their specific requirements today and also remain confident that they can upgrade and enhance their system to address the most challenging multi-petaflop application demands of the future. To learn more about Intel Xeon processor-enabled Cray supercomputers, visit www.cray.com/ownXC30.
Okay, we took a quick break, and let's talk about another interesting piece of big news, which is that British Petroleum in Houston has opened up cut the ribbon on a new 2.2 petaflop research facility.
Yeah, I mean, that facility, that was actually last week's news, but they came up with this, and yeah, they're going to build a 2.2 petaflop super based on some HP gear down there in Houston. This is one of the largest, if not the largest, HPC machines for the oil and gas industry, so it's quite notable. It's quite a large machine, and BP decided they'd go public with it.
And I wasn't able to attend the ribbon cutting myself, but I did visit with Keith Gray down there when they were erecting the new data center, and he took me up the adjacent building so we could point out across proudly at it as it was going up, and they were talking about moving systems over, moving data over, and installing the new systems. And it's they're claiming in one way that it's the most powerful commercial research HPC center in the world. It's certainly one of them. I don't know whether they even have the absolute title in their own industry.
Right. I know there was a Pangea machine from Total was supposedly at 2.3 petaflops, but that might be for a slightly different purpose. But yeah, this is certainly in that ballpark and very similar size machine and a very similar machine. I mean, the one in Total was an SGI machine, I think. This is HP, but they're all using Intel Xeon chips to power this thing.
Right. Tim Prickett Morgan at Enterprise Tech points out that neither the Pangea machine at Total nor this new 2.2 petaflop machine at BP is relying on accelerators, either Intel Xeon Phi or GPUs or any other type of accelerator. This is straight unaccelerated x86 at 2+ petaflops in both cases.
Yeah, that's interesting enough. I mean, we've tracked sort of the rise of the accelerator, especially the GPUs, and now the Xeon Phis, and like you said, neither of these machines use it. And I guess the rationale here is that, you know, these commercial entities have a lot of code, and it's hard to port everything over and sort of get the value out of it immediately without sort of a lot of work. It's mainly been the research institutes that have built these big machines with the accelerators, and they're willing to do the software work and the experimentation to do this. But yeah, commercial machines right now at this level are strictly Xeon.
Right. The large oil and gas companies have certainly been experimenting with accelerators. They're seeing where they can get the best performance on their codes. Oil and gas, of course, has a fairly high rate of internal algorithmic development. They write a lot of their own software, so they've got these codes under their own control. But in terms of what's running at really high scale right now, you know, the signals we're getting are that the accelerated systems aren't quite there yet, and they're more comfortable with the straightforward x86 multi-core path.
Right, and I think that's sort of par for the course. I mean, they're more conservative than the research labs, and they basically, you know, sort of lag them in a certain sense in the cutting edge technology for at least a year or two. So I'm assuming eventually we will see accelerators in some of these big commercial systems. It's just like I said, there's going to be somewhat of a lag.
Yeah, it's important in another sense also, because it underscores what we've been forecasting, that the commercial side of high performance computing is continuing to grow at a steady clip, but we've continued to see weakness on the public sector, the government, and echo effect into academia. That's likely worsened as a result of some of the U.S. government troubles over the last couple of months. It's something we'll have to revisit in our next forecast. So we continue to see commercial side going strong, but the government side struggling.
Yeah, that's true. We haven't seen that many large systems being announced from the public sector recently. Now, I don't think it's ever going to get reversed where we'll see larger systems from the commercial side than the public side. I don't foresee that happening, but yeah, we're definitely seeing more activity there, and probably, like you said, it'll be that way going forward just because of the cutbacks, a lot of public sector money.
Well, and as we look at, you know, what's the potential for government investment in exascale, the commercial benefit of that is got to be a major variable.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right exactly on the case there. Yep.
Well, that's all the news we have for this week, but we know there's more coming. We've got, 2 weeks until supercomputing now?
Yeah, wow, that is very soon, so yeah.
All of a sudden you turn the calendar and you realize, yikes, it's November. We got to get going here.
Yeah, it's November. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of news coming up. A lot of companies are doing some exciting things, and that'll unfold over the next 2 or 3 weeks now.
All right, great. We'll talk to you again next week, Michael.
All right, talk to you then.
Bye-bye.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray and Intel, the new Cray XC30 supercomputer. Powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers scalable performance for the most demanding computing challenges. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownxc30.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite. Got a question or comment? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.